How much sleep do I need as a healthy human to have a stack of energy? How much food do I need to eat? What are the best times of the day to eat my food? What are the most important meals of the day? How often should I eat? What are good or bad foods? Is fat good or bad? Is sugar good or bad? Is alcohol good or bad? Protein, how much do I need? Do I need supplements? Do I need vitamins, minerals, phytochemicals, and fiber? Does food still have all of those things in them, or do I need to supplement with something else? Do I need a detox program? What are the best foods for me to eat so that I can be healthy and I can be lean? Exercise. How much of that do I need? How many days a week should I be exercising? What are the best times of the day to exercise? How long should I exercise for? What are the best exercises to get fit, to burn fat, to get strong? And then how many of each of those exercises should I do? How many reps? How many sets? How many times a day or how many times a week? How many times a month? If I wanted to be healthy, fit, and strong for the rest of my life, what should I do? Please give me some advice. And it's interesting, as I went through that series of questions, I reckon that you've got either answers to all of those questions, congratulations, or you know the answers to most of those questions, or you have an opinion or an idea or a suggestion. If somebody said to you, what should I do, you'd be able to help them out. Or you really want answers to all or some of those questions, and it's like, yes, please, what's the answer? Interestingly, if you ask the people who are involved in exercise, health, nutrition, helping people to be healthy, fit, and strong, and you asked any of those people all of those questions, you would certainly get answers. You'd get opinions, suggestions, ideas, and some people would tell you very strongly and very firmly what you should be eating, what amount of exercise you should be getting, what exercises you should be doing, how much sleep you should be getting, etc. However, the bit of a challenge there is if you ask another expert the same series of questions, they might even have the same university degrees, you'll get a different answer. And some of those answers will be contradicting. So who's the best expert to listen to and how do you know? Then if you ask not just an expert, because ideally if you talk to personal trainers, fitness instructors, dietitians, exercise physiologists, even your doctor about being healthy, fit and strong, of course they're going to have an opinion because that's what they do for a living. But have you ever asked a simple question around a barbecue table or at a restaurant or at a cafe, or you say to somebody on the bus, how do you think I should lose weight, or what do you think is the best way to lose weight, or how, what do you need to do to be healthy, or do you have an opinion about supplements, or do you have an opinion about sugar, or do you have an opinion about whether or not you should eat animal fat? Should you eat margarine? And it seems that whether it's the painter who's come to paint your house, the piano tuner who looks after your piano, the person at the supermarket, an accountant, a lawyer, it doesn't seem to matter. It seems that everybody has an opinion about how to be healthy, how to eat and how to exercise, how much sleep you need, and what in general you need to do to be healthy, fit and strong. And of course, everybody has the right to their opinion, don't they? The challenge we've got if we really want answers to any of those questions is who's the expert and who to believe. Now, some of those questions, it goes a bit further than I just need to lose weight or I just need to get healthy. Some of those questions are actually life and death situations. So if you have a look at the Western world now, which is very sick and very overweight and very unhealthy and depressed and has lots of killer diseases like coronary heart disease, type 2 diabetes, osteoporosis, depression, there's some big challenges. And if you want your kids to grow up in a world where those challenges don't exist anymore, is it possible to either prevent them, get rid of them, eradicate them, cure them? And what do you need to do so you don't get them? What do you actually have to do? So if you have a look at something like coronary heart disease, one of the biggest killers in the world, some people will tell you that if you eat animal fat, you're going to get coronary heart disease, or if you eat too much of it, it's going to clog your arteries. And other people will tell you that you really do need to eat animal fat so that you don't get coronary heart disease. If you look at type 2 diabetes, some people will tell you that it's because we're eating too much sugar or too much carbohydrate, and that spikes your insulin levels and that causes you to get type 2 diabetes and you could die. So obviously the question of, is sugar good or bad for you, or is carbohydrate good or bad for you? It's a little bit more than just, I need to lose a couple of kilos. It's type 2 diabetes is a killer disease. Osteoporosis, a thinning of your bone disease, is a killer disease. It's suggested that in the Western world, perhaps as many as 1 in 3 people have really weak bones and are on their way to serious osteoporosis. That's when you can't walk properly, you have to be in a walking frame or in a wheelchair. Your quality of life becomes very ordinary because you can't do anything. So you might not be dead from that disease, but it really has a massive effect on your life. So is it possible not to get osteoporosis, and what does food and exercise have to do with the thinning of your bones? Then there's mental health. Depression is a big killer in the world. Yes, people are committing suicide because they're unhappy and they don't like their life and they feel depressed. But even if that, you don't go that far, if you're living your life where you're unhappy every day and you don't feel good about yourself and you feel depressed, then what kind of a life is that? So then we're talking about mental health, and what does sleep and food and exercise have to do with how you feel about yourself? So they're not just easy questions to answer, and do we need to have an expert to answer them for us because they're such a important series of questions? And then what do you do when you ask those technical experts and get so many different opinions? Now, if you go to a medical professional, a doctor, for example, and you say, how do I know if I'm healthy? They'll give you a series of biomarkers. They'll say, what's your resting heart rate? Or they'll test it for you. And obviously, if your heart's beating slower, quite slowly at rest, it's suggested that your heart and cardiovascular system and respiratory system may be healthy. They'll check your blood pressure and suggest that 120 over 80 is around about a normal blood pressure. They may do a blood sugar level test to see if you're on the way to type 2 diabetes or you've got the precursors of type 2 diabetes because your blood sugar levels are too high. And they might ask you the question, how do you feel on a regular basis? They may do, they may weigh you and measure you to see what your BMI is and suggest a number that is either high or normal. So they'll say, yes, your BMI is 20 or 22 and you're okay. However, if you take that information home with you and you say, okay, the doctor told me I'm pretty healthy, some people would be really happy about that. But other people go home, look in the mirror, and they're standing there without their clothes on and think, I don't care what the doctor says, I don't feel good. And is that about mental health? If you're not fitting into your clothes, if your clothes are, then you're squishing into them, they're too tight, you don't have a stack of energy, you don't like what you see or in the mirror, and you don't like the way you feel, then you might say, well, I feel bad about myself today, or I feel depressed, or I'm having a fat day. And what's that in relation to your mental health? Is that good? And of course, the answer could be no. I don't like the way I look, so I don't feel good, so I'm not a happy person. And then what does sleep have to do with all of that? Well, if you look at how much sleep do you need, and you'll hear it quite regularly, you need 8 hours sleep, for example. Now, we do, I'm sure you know people like I do, that only need 3 or 4. They go to bed, they go to sleep, they get up, they've got a stack of energy, and that's all they need. And there's other people who sleep 8-10 hours a day, and they're still tired and still grumpy and still say to you, I need to go to bed, I'm tired. So how much sleep do we actually need? And it has been suggested, perhaps, that if your body is healthy, so if you've got a good respiratory system, good cardiovascular system, you've got a good digestive system, a good central nervous system, your hormonal system's working well, you've got healthy muscles, healthy bones, you're active and you love your life and you've got a positive attitude, that you go to bed, fall asleep because you're excited to go to bed, you sleep deeply and nothing disturbs you and you wake up with a stack of energy. Whereas other people who all of those systems aren't working well because they're taking drugs or they're drinking or smoking, or they're unhappy with their life, or they've got a bad boss, they're in a bad relationship, they go to bed but they toss and turn for 8 to 10 hours. So although they're in bed for a long time, they're not actually sleeping deeply. So how much sleep do we need? And when we say 8 hours, that's actually 1/3 of our lives. So is sleep an important part of what we do? The other thing that hasn't even been asked is, how much water do I need to drink? And that's a really controversial topic now. Some people say 8 glasses, some people say 2 liters, some people say drink 2 liters but don't drink them out of a plastic bottle, or don't drink water unless it comes from a private spring or it's been through a filtration system. So how do we know? What we do know is, if we don't get water, we're going to die. If you dehydrate, you're going to a diet because your brain cells have a high percentage of water and so do your muscle cells, and your body's a high percentage overall of water. But we're still arguing about that. There are experts who'll have different opinions about how much water you need to drink and what kind of water you need to drink and where that water needs to come from. So again, is it possible, however, that if you are healthy, fit and strong, meaning you've got a great resting heart rate, your blood pressure is good, you have a positive, happy life, all the systems in your body are working together effectively, that you'll feel good and you know that you'll be getting the right amount of water because there's that simple test, where have I got long, clear wee? And if that, the answer is yes, then you could say, yes, I'm doing great. How do we know? What does food have to do with all of that? Now, food's killing us. In some countries, food is actually killing us. Obesity as a disease in some countries is 30 to 50% of the population, where we're either eating too much food, or some experts will tell you that we're eating too much carbohydrate, or we're eating too much sugar, or we're eating too much fat. So obesity is a serious challenge. And from a mental health point of view, if you look in the mirror and you're 30, 40, 50 kilos heavier than you need to be, how do you feel? The flip side of that is, of course, eating disorders such as anorexia and bulimia and exercise bulimia, where people are so fanatical about what food they eat, what food they shouldn't eat, the amount of exercise they should or shouldn't be doing, that now food is killing them because they're either not getting enough or they want to be in such complete control of their food. They're dying because they're not getting enough vitamins and minerals and phytochemicals. So we've got some killer diseases. We've got some challenges with the way we look and feel, and we've got a stack of experts giving us a stack of advice. How do we know what to do? So how about we take full responsibility for our own lives? It would be very sad, I imagine, that if something happened to our health, our fitness, our well-being, because we believed an expert or a guru or an exercise physiologist or a doctor, but is it possible that any of those people could be wrong? And of course, the answer is yes. So what about a simple series of questions that we could ask ourselves as human beings to give ourselves a simple checkup to say, hey, I'm doing good, or I need to make some changes. So how about this question? How much energy do you have? Because obviously, if you're going to get up and get out of bed and live your day, you need energy to do the things that you need to do that day. And that's different for everybody. Could that be possible? Could this be so personal that it doesn't matter what the experts think or what they say? We have to work it out for ourselves because we're different. So an energy level, for example, for a single dad with five children who's got to work and look after the kids and the house could be different than an elite athlete who trains for 3 hours a day but then has a massage and has lots of food and has lots and lots of sleep. Is it possible that the energy levels required for a busy business person sitting at their desk all day using their brain could be different than a construction person who has to dig holes and move bricks and logs all day long? So of course the answer is yes. So the question is, do you have the energy all day long that you need? And not just I wake up with energy, but at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you don't need a snooze, and at 7 o'clock at night, you don't need to go to bed. Oh, I'm so tired, and you can't play with your kids. So number one is energy. Number two is performance. And of course, that's again different for everybody. So an elite athlete who runs 42.2 kilometers in the marathon has different performance requirements than a sprinter, has different performance requirements than a person who works 8 hours sitting at their office desk and they're under stress and pressure from their boss, has different performance levels than an actor or a music performer. So obviously we all have different performance levels. The question is, am I performing every day, every mission at a level that I'm really happy with or at my peak performance? Wouldn't that be awesome? The third question, and it might not be important to you, but of course it is important to some people, is how do I look in the mirror? So whether that's naked standing in front of the mirror, or you've got clothes on and you want to feel fantastic in your clothes, are you happy with the shape or the feel or the look of your body? And if not, is it affecting your headspace? So you might look in the mirror and go, yeah, I'm a bit chubby, but I don't care, versus, oh, I'm a bit chubby, and you go into a downward spiral and you feel really bad all day and you have that fat day, or you feel depressed or feel angry because you don't like what you see in the mirror. So number one, is energy. Number two is performance. Number three is look. And then number four, food and exercise and eating and sleep should give you a certain result. So the question is, are you getting the results that you want from how much sleep you're getting, how much water you're drinking, the food that you're eating, and the exercise that you're doing? And everybody has a different result. Everybody, again, has a different energy level requirement, performance requirement, look and feel requirement. We all want different results. Some people want to be 5% body fat. Some people want to be 20% body fat. Some people want to put on 5 kilos of muscle. Other people want to take off 20 kilos of fat. Everybody wants to get a different result from what they're doing. So the question is, are you getting the result that you want? If you then combine that with a healthy resting heart rate for your age, if you combine that with a weight and a size and an energy level that you're happy with, and the interesting thing about a BMI from the doctor, for example, is that bodybuilders don't fit into that category, because regardless of how tall or short they are, they're heavier because they've got more muscle tissue. So they'll have a really high BMI. So technically they're obese, but they have no body fat. They've just got really heavy muscles. So be aware that from a how you look and feel perspective, it's a really good question to ask yourself. So you need to find a test that's best for you. So perhaps pick a weight, pick a size, pick a body fat percentage that you're really comfortable with, that you're really happy with, and say, yes, this is, I'm on track, or I am getting the result that I want. So there's some great questions. Number one, do you have the energy that you want? Number two, are you performing at the performance levels every day that you want to perform at? Number three, do you like the way you look and feel when you look in the mirror? And number five, are you getting the results that you want? Then resting heart rate, blood pressure, 120 on 80, blood sugar levels, and the doctor will tell you what it should be. And it's a great idea to have a test, because type 2 diabetes is now one of the biggest killers in the world. So have a test and find out. And then on a general 0 to 10 scale, 0 is I feel crap all the time, and 10 is I feel fantastic all the time. And then you might look at something like your immune system or your skin, your hair and your nails. If you've got shiny hair, crystal clear skin, bright eyes, healthy nails, and excuse me, you don't get sick, then you might say, hey, I'm doing pretty well. And then you might not go looking for an expert or a guru. You might be able to say to yourself, the amount of food that I'm eating, the amount of sleep that I'm getting, the amount of water that I'm drinking, the amount of everything that I'm putting into my life is exactly the way that it should be. And the sleep's a classic for that. If you wake up with a stack of energy after you've had 3 hours sleep and you feel fantastic, and even if you went back to bed and tried to sleep, you couldn't, but some expert comes along and says you should be sleeping 8 hours, you might not disagree with, or you might not agree with them. There might be a disagreement. So there's some really good tests to do for yourself. Now, what about the people that you care about? Your family, your friends, your children. If you're a footy coach, what about your athletes? If you're a leader or a boss, if somebody comes to you and asks for your advice about how much sleep they should get and how much food they should be eating and how much exercise they should be doing and what are the best exercises, what about some of these great questions? You already know for yourself what you like to eat and what you don't like to eat and why you eat the way that you do. But why don't we ask other people that question? What about what exercise are you doing? What exercise don't you like to do? What exercise could you stick to? What do you think you should be doing? It's one of those really great questions. If you were your own high-performance eating and exercise and sleeping coach, what advice would you give yourself about what's going to work best for you? Because we're so quick at giving people our opinion. But if somebody comes along and gives you their opinion about what you should be doing, but you already have all of those things sorted, you have a stack of energy, you are performing well, you do love what you see in the mirror, you're getting the results that you want from your eating and exercise plan, you have a resting heart rate that's good, your blood pressure levels are normal, your blood sugar levels are normal, and you feel really happy and you love your life, you'd probably be annoyed if somebody came along and said, you shouldn't eat that and you must have that and that's the wrong thing for you to be doing. And yet we often feel comfortable doing that for other people. If somebody comes along and says to you, you should change what you're doing, and you might want to believe them because they've got lots of degrees from a university, or they're an expert in the area, or they've been a personal trainer for 30 years. There's lots of reasons why we listen to what people have got to say. But maybe ask these questions. Ask them exactly the same question. Based on the opinion that you've given me about eating and exercise, or what I should be doing, or what you think is the best way to eat and exercise, Do you have a stack of energy? Are you performing at your top level? Do you love what you see in the mirror? And are you getting the results that you want from that exercise and eating plan that you're telling me that I should be doing? And just watch for the answers, or you might just need to look. The way you judge health and fitness and activity and the way people appreciate their life is completely up to you. So somebody coming along and giving you advice about being healthy and fit, but they are overweight and they are weak and they're grumpy, might not be the right person for you to be listening to. Now, we all have our right to listen to whoever we want to. But the other thing to be really aware of is that if somebody's giving you advice, also ask for how long have they had that opinion and how long have they applied that to their life. So somebody comes along and says, I lost 30 kilos, you should do what I did. But in 6 months' time, you see them and now they've put 40 kilos back on. Or somebody tells you, this is the way you should live your life, this is how you should eat, this is how you should exercise, this is how much sleep you need. And then you see them later or on Facebook or you hear from them and now they're drinking too much and taking drugs and hating their life and their life's not good. Now, life happens to us all, but ultimately the goal is not about being lean or skinny or in great shape or look good for a short period of time. Surely it's about being healthy, fit and strong for the rest of your life. Strong muscles, strong bones, strong body systems so that you can do all the things that you need to do for the rest of your life. So perhaps when you're looking for an expert or looking for answers, that you listen to the people who have been the same weight, the same size, the same energy level for 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. They may not do things from the extreme. So it's something that if you looked at what they're doing, you could say, well, I could actually do that because they don't exercise for 5 hours every day and they don't just eat lettuce or they don't take a stack of pills, powders and potions that I couldn't afford even if I wanted to. You need to find what's going to work out best for you. Don't we all? So it's easy to answer the question, you should have this much sleep, this is how much water you should drink, this is how much food you should eat, this is the good and bad exercises. But ultimately, it's about what's going to be best for us. And then if we get into the area of exercise, it becomes very complicated because there are so many opinions about the best exercises for fitness and strength and all the reps and sets and programs that there are available from all the experts in the world. But ultimately, the only exercise program that's going to work for you, the only one that's going to work for me, is the one that I do or the one that you do. So you have to work out how much time you have to exercise and then where are the best results going to come from? What's going to get you fit? What's going to get you strong? And then how do you need to fuel your body to be able to do that? So instead of seeking advice, seeking opinions, looking for an expert, looking for a guru, how about we decide for ourselves, what do I need to do to be energetic, to perform at my top level, to love what I see in the mirror, and to get the results that I want from my exercise program and my eating plan that I can actually stick to. And perhaps if we all take responsibility for our lives and we live healthy, fit, strong lives, then our kids can look at us and say, wow, look at my mum and dad, or look at my school teacher, or look at my footy coach, or look at my mum's boss. They're really healthy and they've got a stack of energy and they're always happy and they fit into their clothes and they're not whining about not having enough energy or not living a life that they love. So rather than tell people what to do or ask people what we should do, what about we decide for ourselves and let other people work it out for themselves? So there's that great question. If you were your own high performance sleeping coach, eating coach, exercise coach, what advice would you give yourself to make sure that you're healthy, fit and strong for the rest of your life?